Good morning. Let's turn our Bibles to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers 11, we'll go from verse 1. Now the people became like those who complain of adversity in the hearing of the Lord. And when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. The people therefore cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire died out. So the name of that place, I will go to verse 15, 1 through 15. So the name of that place was called Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. The rabble who were among them had greedy desires, and also the sons of Israel wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we used to eat free in Egypt, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our appetite is gone. There is nothing at all to look at except this manna." Now the manna was like coriander seed, and its appearance like that of, not sure how that, bdellium. The people would go about and gather it and grind it between two millstones, or beat it in the mortar and boil it in the pot and make cakes with it. And its taste was as the taste of cakes baked with oil. When the dew fell on the camp at night, the manna would fall with it. Now Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, each man at the doorway of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly, and Moses was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you been so hard on your servant? Why have I not found favor in your sight, that you have laid the burden of all this people on me? Was it I who conceived all this people? Was it I who brought them forth, that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a nursing infant,' to the land which you swore to their fathers? Where am I going to get meat to give to all this people? For they weep before me, saying, 'Give us meat that we may eat.' I alone am not able to carry all this people because it is too burdensome for me. So if you're going to deal thus with me, please kill me at once. If I have found favor in your sight and please kill me at once if I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness." Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for this passage and just the morning that we can come and spend some time with you and in your presence and in your word, and help us to pray and encounter you and meet with you in this time. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I've been reading Numbers through my own Bible reading plan, and I thought, sorry, this is not working. If I ever get a chance to share at EMP, maybe I will just go through Numbers because I think it's such an interesting book. And there's less chances for me now to share at EMP. I'm not rostered as a regular person to cover for Pastor Sam if he's not away, if he's not here. But on those rare moments, I will continue on with Numbers, and hopefully it all gets uploaded. So if you're interested, you can listen to it. So brief intro to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, it's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. And Numbers is, it is like a narrative, right? It's a story. It's a historical narrative. And it happens right after the people of Israel. If you are not familiar, the people of Israel are enslaved to Egypt for 400 years, and this figure, God raises up this figure named Moses to rescue them. That's the book of Exodus. Exodus, meaning they're leaving the land of Egypt. So they leave the land of Egypt. That's the first half of Exodus. The second half of Exodus, they are encamped in this place called Mount Sinai. And it's a very significant place because the Lord meets with them and he tells them how to become a people, basically. Until that time, they weren't a nation. It was a family of Israel, which grew and grew and grew, but they were enslaved, so they didn't really have their own identity as a people. So they come out and they gather at Mount Sinai, and the Lord gives them laws and rules on how to live their lives to be a nation, kind of like giving them the law, right? Like how we would look at a law for a country. And then he leads them through to building what's called the tabernacle. The tabernacle was a place where the presence of God dwelt, basically, right? So wherever they would go, they would set up this huge, elaborate tent, large area called the tabernacle, and that would represent the presence of God being with them. So that's how the book of Exodus ends. So book of Exodus, the first half is exciting. They leave Egypt, and there's miracles and plagues, and there's fighting. And then the second half of Exodus is boring. It's a lot of rules and laws and construction plans for this tabernacle. And then they build a tabernacle at the end of Exodus. But what we see at the end of that book is that Moses, even Moses, the chosen leader, is not able to enter into the tabernacle because the presence of God is too holy. And then we come to the book of Leviticus. And Leviticus is another difficult book to read because there's a lot of rules and regulations. But what Leviticus is essentially dealing with is they've built a tabernacle, the presence of God is there, but they're not able to enter into it because of their own unholiness. God is too holy, too pure, too clean. They can't get near him. And what Leviticus does is it kind of describes the ways in which the people of Israel can cleanse themselves to be able to enter into the tabernacle. So the Leviticus is not really a narrative. It's not moving the story forward at all. It's just kind of giving us instructions, more instructions on how to purify yourself to be able to enter into the presence of God, to be able to enter into the tabernacle. And so Leviticus is that, and then we come to Numbers. So Numbers really, story-wise, it comes right after the book of Exodus. So Exodus, they're at Mount Sinai, they get all these instructions, and now in Numbers, they're ready to set out from Mount Sinai to the Promised Land. And the book of Numbers is called Numbers because there are two instances where they number the people of Israel, right? They take a great census of everybody. And I think that's the easiest way to kind of structure the book of Numbers. So you will see in the very beginning, you number everybody. There's a numbering of all the people of Israel. That's the first generation of people that came out of Egypt, still carrying their slave mentality. All their habits and mentality of being in Egypt, they carry with them. If you read through the book later on, there will be a second numbering. And this is the next generation, okay? And what we just don't have time to go through it, you know? But what you will notice is the first generation, just very simply put, the first generation is negative. It's bad. The second generation, the new generation, is good, meaning they're no longer carrying the slave mentality of Egypt, and they're able and prepared to enter into the Promised Land. The first generation, not so much. They're still carrying on or carrying within themselves slave mentality. And when there's an opportunity for them to enter into the Promised Land, they retreat from it because of fear. And so they spend 40 years wandering in the wilderness without going into the Promised Land until the next generation comes. So you'll see that in the book of Numbers, after the first numbering of the people, there's a lot of stories of sin and sinfulness and bad things that they do. There's a lot of examples of that, just showing how broken, you know, the first generation was. And then when you get to the second numbering of the people, after that story of the second census, you'll see that the people of Israel, they have no instances of anything bad happening. So it's just one way the author has chosen to kind of describe or compare and contrast the two groups, right? The first generation, there's a lot of bad things happen after the counting of the numbers. The second group is a lot of good. That's confusing. You can talk to me after. It's fascinating, but it is a little difficult to read in the beginning because there's a lot of numbers and names of people. But once you get past that, Numbers has a lot of stories that we can read. And so the first example, after the numbering of the people and giving some rules and regulations, the first example of, I guess, the failure of this first generation we find in chapter 11. And the first example of bad that we see here is complaining. And so that's what I want to talk about with us today, complaining. Are you a complainer? Think about it. Are you a complainer? Let's think about it. And I just want to say, you can tell yourself right now, this message is for me. Yeah, this message is not for my wife or my husband or my colleague or somebody else that I know in my house church. You know, this message is for me. This message is for me too, myself. Are you a complainer? What I find very interesting and something to think about here is, you know, God is leading the people of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. And so God is directly involved with their lives and how they're going to enter into the promised land. I don't have an answer for this, but I just think it's very interesting. And you know, if God is directly involved in getting them from Egypt to the promised land, couldn't he have made things easier for them? Right? Because he's directly involved. He's doing so many miraculous things to provide for them and to care for them and to carry them through. But for some reason, he doesn't give them everything that they want. Right? He gives them food, but he just gives them manna, and so people are complaining. I just find it so funny that these people, it says they were weeping because they couldn't eat meat. It's just so funny. I feel like we could do that. You know, like nowadays, it would be like, oh, if we're fasting meat or something, we'd be like, oh, it's so hard. We're fasting meat, we haven't had meat, and they're weeping. I just think it's kind of humorous, but they're complaining because they can't have meat. And you'll see there's lots of instances later on, they just keep complaining about not having enough water, not having this, not having that. And I just think, okay, God, if you're leading them and you're directly, you know, in a much more direct way than how we experience the guidance of God, God is directly guiding them and directing them. But for some reason, he holds back. I don't know. It's interesting. Because if he's going to do it, why can't he just do it, make it easier for them? I guess what I'm saying is there must be something, to going through hardship that is good for us. Maybe God's preparing them or something, right? To face life in the promised land. I don't know. It's just something for you to think about. I haven't had enough time to really think about it and meditate upon it. But I just noticed it. I observed it. I'm like, oh, it's interesting. God, you're directly involved, yet you let them go through these difficult things. And you're waiting to see, are they going to complain? Or are they going to obey? Are they going to, in gratitude, you know, serve and obey? And then when they complain, God gets really angry. I was reminded of Pastor Sam. You know, when we complain as a staff or something, Pastor Sam can get quite angry. He's like, what's wrong with you guys? Like, shut up. Stop complaining. Just do it. And I understand. Like, maybe Pastor Sam, I mean, if God gets angry, you know, what's going to keep Pastor Sam from getting angry when we complain like this? I just think it's interesting. So he leads them in this specific way, even though he's the one directly leading them, and he wants to see, I don't know, I'm just guessing, he wants to see how they're going to react to situations, and so he lets them go through life in this way. What's the second thing that's interesting is, the first verse, verse 1 through 3, there is just a generic complaining. We're not told what they're complaining about, but there is complaining, and God brings fire down from heaven. Doesn't kill anyone, but he burns the outskirt of the camp, and so people kind of back off. Maybe they stop complaining. And then the next complaint that we see is they're complaining about meat, not having enough meat, and they say, man, I wish I was back in Egypt. Right? How quick it is for them to forget the oppression and the hardship that they were experiencing in Egypt. And they just say, man, I wish I could just go back and get some meat. So there's a specific complaint there, but and God's very angry. It says in verse 10, Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, each man at the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. So again, we see, man, God is so angry at the complaining of the people. And then what we see is Moses dialoguing with God. But Moses, what does Moses do as soon as he hears the complaint of the people? Moses complains to God. Moses goes to God and says, God, what the heck? Why am I doing this? You know, he goes to the extent of saying, I wish you could just kill me now so I don't have to deal with this. But what's interesting is you never hear God saying to Moses, shut up, don't complain, and I'm angry with you. So what I find with God is that he seems most angry when we're kind of complaining amongst ourselves. And maybe the only complaining we're allowed to do is to directly complain to God, because then we're having a dialogue, and then he can respond, and he can tell us things. Just like Job, remember the story of Job? He goes through so much suffering, and he confronts God. He says, God, what are you doing? This is not right. I haven't done anything. And all his friends around him are saying, Job, don't do that, man. You must have done something wrong. You must have done something wrong to be going through stuff like this. You know, they kind of defend God for God, but God says in the end, Job was more righteous than the three friends. So there is something to being honest with God. We can be honest with God, and we can complain to him directly, but maybe what displeases him the most is when we complain amongst ourselves, you know? And we just think, man, I don't know. There's lots of examples of, like, complaining, right? My house church leader said this, or can't believe I had to wake up so early to go to early morning prayer, or whatever, right? Oh, I have to miss basketball this Saturday because I have this or that, or, you know, we could bring a lot, you know, lots of complaints, but I think what bothers God is when we do it amongst ourselves. I think we're allowed to complain to him directly. Maybe, because if we do that, maybe he can tell us to give us a reason, or tell us to shut up, or show us his glory, and we would just shut up. We'd be like, oh, okay, never mind, Lord. Right? But it's the complaining amongst ourselves that bothers him. And I want to read to us two more passages. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 through 15. Philippians 2:14, it says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent. We'll stop there. Blameless and innocent. It says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent. Paul says, if you just stop complaining, if you don't grumble and you don't dispute amongst yourselves, we'll be blameless and innocent. That he places a lot of importance on grumbling and complaining and not doing that. 1 Thessalonians, one more passage. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In everything, give thanks. Some other versions will say, in all circumstances, give thanks. give thanks in all circumstances. My father, who's also a pastor, he takes this very seriously. And so in every situation, it's always on his lips. He always says, thank you, Lord. 하나님 감사합니다, which is in Korean, like, thank you, Lord, right? And sometimes I think it's annoying because clearly something bad has happened. Why are you thanking God, right? Look, something as simple as he's walking and he hits his foot on something, right? And it's like, ah, oh, and then he'll say, 하나님 감사합니다, which is, God, thank you. It's like, why? Why are you thanking God for what just happened? But it does something. It does something to his heart. And in my immaturity, I think maybe that's like silly or something. But it makes a difference for him. He's not a complainer. And he carries, you know, gratitude in his heart all the time. And so he takes that quite literally. In every circumstance, every situation, he chooses to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for even the bad things that's happening. Thank you for the good things that's happening. And so this is my challenge for us. Let's go through today without complaining. Right? I don't understand completely yet why God lets us, he allows us to experience these things that are difficult and that warrant complaining at times. But what he wants to see from us is in those moments to not complain, but to give thanks to him and to trust him and to worship him and to praise him, to offer a sacrifice of praise. And so, yeah, and he's gracious in that he provides a way for us to vent, but it's just to him directly, right? Because, I mean, there are moments where, I mean, you genuinely go through something that is very difficult and you have to talk about it and let your emotions out. But he's saying, don't do it amongst people. Come directly to me to bring these things. But what I'm talking about today is let's refrain from those silly complaints that we make all the time. I was just doing a quick Google search, and it's a popular thing to do, fasting from complaining for 24 hours or 2 weeks or something. And even something as simple as, oh, I'm so tired. This lady that fasted for me, she was saying, that's complaining. And so she was going to stop saying that. And what other silly things do we complain about all the time, you know? I don't know. There's probably lots of things. But let's stop it for today. Maybe in our fasting from complaining and choosing gratitude, God's going to reveal to us just exactly why he places such a big importance on this issue and why it bothers him so much when the Israelites choose to engage in grumbling against him amongst themselves. So can we do that? Do you agree to do that? Just today. Let's just today, just think about it. Before you let those words out of your mouth, I'm not going to complain today. And get creative. You know, I was reading and that people sometimes get very creative. So instead of saying something negative, now they have to say something in a positive way. And it really changes their heart. And they have to get more creative with the way they speak. And this one lady was saying that she was saying, I'm so tired all the time. And she realized the issue is she just needs to sleep earlier, right? She just needs to go to bed earlier. That's the real issue, not that she's tired. So anyway, I'm just hoping for myself too that as I go through this today and maybe more days after that, one, it'll be pleasing to God, but two, you know, it will give us more understanding about why this is such an important issue. So let's just pray. Pastor Andrew is going to lead us in a song. God, we see in Numbers, Lord, just how big of an issue complaining is. And honestly, I'm a little surprised at how angry you get in these instances. And I just pray for revelation, God. I pray for just you to speak to us and reveal to us, God, why this is such a difference maker in our lives. And I pray that we will be able to honor you, God, in our speech, God, and also in the attitude of our hearts, God. And Lord, we repent of being complainers, God. Small things, big things, God, we complain. And I pray that you would keep a check in our heart today. Those of us that are here and those of us that are listening to the message online, God, this day, God, I pray that we'll be able to choose gratitude instead of complaining in every situation, God, for this is the will of God for us. Lord, so I pray that you would lead us in that. And Holy Spirit, help us, God. We need your mercy. Thank you, Lord.
Words could not tell, not even in
Yes, God, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the amazing love and grace that you have shown us, God. And in light of that, how can we complain, God? In light of what you have done for us, how can we grumble and complain about these little things, God, that we go through in our lives, God? I pray that you'd help us to offer up to you not just our life, but also our speech, God, the things that we say, the attitude of our hearts, God. God, the meditations of our hearts, Lord. God, may they be pleasing to you, Father. Let's pray together for our church community. Let's pray for those that are going through cancer or going through chemo. Continue to pray for Calvin. He's in the middle of his chemo treatment. So there's 6 treatments that he's going to receive once a week. And he just had his 3rd one yesterday. So please pray for successful treatment and for protection against side effects. And let's pray for others on the list. Let's just pray for them to have strength and for them to experience the powerful healing from God. Let's pray. Let's pray for those that are ill, but also in need of salvation. Let's pray for God's mercy. Let's pray for a revelation of God's goodness and His grace, His love for our people on the list, that they may come to faith in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Let's pray for those going through various infirmities. Let's just pray for healing for them. Let's pray for strength for them. Let's pray that they won't be discouraged in the midst of these infirmities. Let's pray. Let's pray for those that are looking for a job. Let's pray for open doors. Let's pray for favor. Let's pray for God's guidance for them. Let's pray for our mission focus for Thursday.
pray for our church plant, Singapore and New York, and also our church here in Hong Kong, but for our Indonesian sisters, Spin. Let's pray for our leaders, Pastor Sam Kim, Pastor Salamat, and Ruth and Jess, lay leaders for SP New York. Let's pray for God's covering and protection and continued vibrant church life, and just for them to have this, you know, the fire of the Holy Spirit in the churches. So let's pray for these three churches. Let's pray for the education ministry. Let's pray for Noah's Ark and Youth Group and SPU, our college ministry. Please pray specifically because there are some changes being made with the renovations of the third floor space. So let's just pray for a smooth transition for both Noah's Ark and Youth Group. Actually, for all three groups, there will be some transitions, different locations, time changes, and things like that. So let's just pray for a smooth transition. And as always, let's pray that our young people would encounter God, and pray for the leaders of these ministries to just be so anointed and to have God's heart for these children. So let's pray. Let's pray for our prayer and healing ministries, IP team, intercessor prayer team, with Matt as a leader, The Well, which is our physical healing ministry, with Pastor Ricky, and our River, which is our inner healing ministry, with Rachel. So let's pray for these ministries and the leaders, and let's pray for anointing. Let's pray for protection for everyone in the teams as they are, you know, directly engaging in like prayer warfare kind of thing. So let's pray for protection, and let's pray for really anointed and fruitful ministry that flows out of these three groups. Let's pray for our Thursday outreaches today, SP Lights and Homie Outreach. Let's pray for fruitful ministry for them and protection for them as they go out, and for them to really carry the heart and the love of God to those that they're ministering. Let's pray. Let's pray lastly for our house churches meeting Today, on Thursday, pray for East Bay, Olympic, Robin Hood. Let's pray for very good house church meetings for these three groups. Pray for the leaders. Thank you, God. We thank you for this time just to come before you. Help us, Lord, not to complain. I pray that it will be a good exercise for us today, God. Put a guard over our lips and the words that we say, and let it be pleasing to you. And pray for revelation, God, today as we engage in that. And I thank you for who you are. Thank you for your kindness and your goodness and the love that you've already shown to us, God. And just in light of all of that, God, all the blessings, God, that we have already received, God, help us to have a grateful heart, God, throughout today. And lead us. We love you. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great day today. Bless you guys. We'll see you tomorrow. Wait, tomorrow there's no EMP tomorrow. Just a reminder, because it's a public holiday. Thank you.